Hello.
Oh, you caught me mid-pour.
Yes. It's the perfect time to catch.
I was hoping it would have a little pop to it, but it didn't. Because it was a screw top and I'm poor.
Mine was only $11 and it popped, but I did it before.
Well, look at you, fancy.
$11 fancy. What flavor is your popsicle?
My popsicle's strawberry.
Ooh. I picked the orange popsicle because, like, no one wants the orange popsicle just when you're going to eat a popsicle. But I figured this way it's like a mimosa.
I just took a cheeky picture of myself, but I am listening to you kind of.
It's okay. I was just explaining my popsicle mimosa.
I've got my glasses shirt on, the GLA.
Oh,
making fun of the LA. Makes me look like a gangster, which I truly, truly am.
You truly are, especially after your trip that you just went on.
I posted some pictures on Instagram. I posted the start and the end, which I thought was, like, important.
It does feel important. That's good context for what's happening.
It's so funny when you experience something like that, although it was only, like, 2 days. It feels like nothing is the same. like even, like, going and picking up Zero from daycare, like, talking to you, I'm like, this doesn't feel right after what I've experienced. I feel like, I guess that's like the definition of trauma. You're the expert in that world.
Yes. I mean, that's definitely a big part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, as long as we can name it. And because you were talking about something that I had done last week. Well, we were talking about it.
Yeah.
I'd completely forgotten that had happened. Like, and I genuinely mean that. Like, it was, everything is a non-event after this.
Nothing has the same kind of, like, effect, and everything just feels not real after you've
right.
had something happen.
Yeah.
Listeners, welcome to Theology on the Rocks, where you're going to hear the epic tale of Leah's trip to see the solar eclipse.
It's true. Which Christy hasn't even heard.
I haven't even heard it. We're all getting this in together as a community.
But also, it's not even going to be like, there's not enough time.
No.
Like, I can't. You will hear We're gonna snippets hear of this story for years to come.
For the rest of our lives. I'm very excited about it.
Like, I need to tell you about a guy who told me that he wanted to punch a fish. That's probably not going to make it into the story, but it's true. It happened. And he said he would punch any fish and then started naming fish.
Different fish.
Different fish, yes. And then he said he just thought they needed to be shown who's boss. That's a real story.
That's how I feel about fish also.
That's a real story. And then my friend who is from Charlotte, who was with me at the time of this story, which makes me feel infinitely better because otherwise I would sound crazy.
Yeah. You know? Well, you don't want these stories to happen by yourself because
no,
for a multitude of reasons, you need somebody there.
100%. I look over at him and he looks over at me and we do like an office look, you know, like as this man proceeds to tell us about all the different fish that he would punch.
That he wants to punch. That he
just to ever... show them who's at the top of just the food chain. Like,
I am more important than fish.
And then also, I responded, I said, I think seafood restaurants have already kind of like established that hierarchy.
Yeah.
And he looked at me kind of like, what are you talking about? And then I looked over at my friend again and he just shook his head.
He was like, don't. Don't just
but that won't make it but that's a story and you know
yeah
it's another thing so I listeners today we're gonna talk about my trip and then we're also gonna talk about a lot of chat around this particular event where people thought things were going to happen,
and it was
they didn't. Well, at one stage when I was on my journey back home, and it felt real bad. Someone said, "What if we just actually died in the
eclipse?" This is purgatory,
and this is what hell is.
This is.
And then I sort of had a moment where I was like,
maybe.
it's like the, and the person who said this mentioned The Good Place. And I thought that was a good reference, because the stuff that was happening, I was like,
you're like, this,
they told us it was Earth, but
the bad maybe, place. It could be the right. bad place.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Sorry. So we figured, because we needed to hear this story of Leah's, but also because, I mean, there were a lot of people out there talking about how the eclipse was going to bring about the end of the world or the rapture or other various bad theology. My students even asked about it. They were like, not like in a, is this true, but in a, they were like, why are people saying this? And I was like, I opted out of this conspiracy theory this time, guys. I did not deep dive into the why. It's always the same.
I mean, your students did ask if they were going to have class when it was raining.
They did ask if we were going to have class.
Because they're in Florida.
In Florida, there was a rainstorm, and they were like, are we still having class? And I was like, yes.
You monster. You monster.
So sorry to disappoint.
So we thought we'd chat about apocalypse.
Apocalypse. Apocalypse. When the apocalypse happens, as said Buffy.
Yes. And so settle in. We were going to drink maybe whiskey because it felt like one of those gather by the fireplace moments, but like, I wanted more of a celebration of life. It sounds like I've died, but I didn't. I don't think, but I can't confirm that I'm not in the bad place. But so we decided, Christy sent me this video, and I was in a public place, so I like watched it and didn't listen to it. And I simply thought it was a popsicle and Prosecco.
Yes.
And come to find out, it was like a homemade.
So the video was sent to me by two different people. Both Amanda and Columba sent this to me, where you make popsicles with Aperol spritz. So Aperol and then like Prosecco and club soda. And you make the popsicle and then you put it into the Prosecco. And as the Aperol popsicle melts, you get a Prosecco or a Aperol spritz. That's like fun, I guess.
But we just did it. I was like, I'm absolutely not making a popsicle.
So I sent this to Leah, like, do you want to do this? And then she was like, I'm not making the popsicle though. And I was like, I don't think that we can just buy Aperol popsicles.
Ooh, that may be a missing market.
It is. Somebody get on that. Somebody make Aperol popsicles for us. But then we decided that both of us are too lazy to do all of that work. And so we are just having popsicles in Prosecco, which I have to say, I'm not mad about it.
I just drank it. It may be our peak.
Yeah.
Last week was pretty good. Like
last week was, yeah. Last week was great. But this is, I'm a fan.
I might just do this on the regular. This is really good.
I mean, you basically get
it's popsicle Prosecco. It's not like we didn't cure cancer.
No. But like you basically are getting a more fun mimosa. Really, yeah, is what it is.
I love this.
I'm a fan.
I'm going to love it. I am a huge fan.
I think we are on a roll of good drinks lately, and we need to keep it going.
Gosh, we're so good at this.
We are.
And just like humble.
So
just like the most humble.
The most humble. The most humble people.
So, Christy, what did you do for the solar eclipse? I know you were not in totality. Anything?
It was like 60% here, and I did nothing. I left. So on Mondays, I teach at the downtown campus, and then I drive home to finish working because I don't have an office there. And so I was, as I was driving home, I swung by to pick up something. Oh, coffee, because I was out of coffee, which was terrible. No. So I like ran to the grocery store just to grab some coffee for life. And there were, it was like 1:45, and the eclipse here wasn't supposed to be like at its peak until 3. And the parking lot of this grocery store was filled with people staring at the sun. And I was like, nothing.
Did they have glass?
They did have their glasses on.
Okay, good.
But I mean, nothing was happening yet. Leah, it was the brightest it could possibly be. It wasn't even like it was kind of. And I was just like, what are you all looking at right now? This is not interesting. but it did remind me of apocalypse movies. So, you know, like when the spaceship arrives and everyone's just outside staring, like gaping at the sky.
Yep.
And you think to yourself, like, if a spaceship actually arrived, would I just stand and stare at it like that? And you know what? I think the answer might be yes for a lot of people.
I would say yes. I mean, because at that stage, you're like,
you're just like, what
is happening? Don't know. I have a real strong flight instinct.
So I have like, an extremely strong flight instinct. And so I guarantee you that I would have, as soon as there was any hint of a spaceship in the sky, I would be hiding somewhere.
Same. Yeah. I would be going back into whatever building you were in.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm like, not going to stand out there and stare at it. But so then I came
home. Stuart for sure would stare at it.
Stuart would.
And then he would turn around to tell me like
and you'd
how this is like same. Star Trek. And I would be gone.
Same. Leah, you've known me for a bit now, so you know something about me that everyone knows, and that is that I am not a fast person. Like I'm not like a fast walker or anything.
Just like shuffling.
I just kind of like, I'm not like grandma slow, but I'm not fast. So in college,
I can't say I can confirm. I've never seen you like run a race or anything.
I mean, I don't anymore. We had a kind of stalker, and
wait, what?
Yeah,
this is a segue.
This is relevant. Just
okay.
We had a.
I thought you were just declaring that you had a stalker.
We had a kind of stalker. I don't want to say that he was like. I mean, he did break into our house a few times.
Lord. Yeah, that's not kind.
It was
a stalker.
It was not great. Anyway, there's more to this story.
And this is a call. This is in Colorado. I'm assuming.
This is in Greeley.
Greeley,
Colorado, and
murder capital of the world.
So he had been gone for a few months, and we were really excited about him not being around. And I was sitting on the couch with my roommate in our living room, and from my position, I could see out the front window and like the front door. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, I see him coming, and I don't even remember it happening, but the next thing I knew, I was at the back of the house going down the back stairs.
Oh my gosh.
And I didn't.
Did you take your roommate with you?
No, I left her there. So
you are a bad person.
Bad friend.
I would at least grab you. And if you can't keep up, that's on you.
I didn't do anything. I didn't say anything. I just disappeared. And I get to the back, I become alert of where I am. And I'm like, well, it's too late now. So I just went downstairs. To the like guys segment of our house. And I said to TJ, my other roommate, I was like, so-and-so is upstairs. And he was like, lock the door. And I was like, I left my other roommate up there.
And then he said, you're a bad person.
He said, it's too late for her. Lock the
door. Oh my gosh, you all are bad people.
So we locked the door.
What the crap?
And then I hear her yell expletives at us from upstairs. He said that I
correct.
Just like Roadrunner vanished. It was like the smoke was behind me. She was like, I've never seen you move so fast in all of your life. And I was like, I don't even remember it happening. It was like I blinked and all of a sudden I was at the back of the house.
I mean, that's a good excuse so that she doesn't hate your freaking guts.
I know. I'm like, I'm sorry. I would have, if I had any awareness, I would have said something, but I didn't. I just left. So this is. My flight instinct is stronger than anything else.
Well, good to know in case anything happens that I'm all on my own.
You are. We'll try. But anyway, all that to say, I didn't even see the eclipse because then at 3 o'clock I was at my house and I kind of like glanced out the window and it was still very bright. And I thought, that's not worth it. So I just continued on.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah.
Stuart sent me a picture of the eclipse in Charlotte and it was just like our front yard, but like normal.
Yeah. And it was just, it wasn't even slightly darker. Like,
he said it got a little darker, but like it just looked like a cloudy
day. It didn't even feel like a cloudy day here. It was the same amount of brightness the whole time. And I just, but I saw it in 2017. So I feel like, you know, I'm aware of what happened. I've seen it.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's fine. You'll be fine.
Catch the next one.
You'll catch the next one. Which is in Spain. I know this because we're now a traveling eclipse chasers.
Oh, okay. So Spain's next time. When is that? Is that like 2 years?
I don't know. No. We picked tarot cards to see who was going to see. I'm telling you, there's so many stories. We picked tarot cards to see who got the moon, and whoever got the moon had to plan the next trip. And so my friend Sean got the moon. Mm. Thank God. Because
you had gotten the moon.
I would have gave it to Sean.
Do you think people would have been like,
she's like the world traveler. She plans all these trips. And when she got it, I was like, whew. Yeah, I saw it in 2017 because it was the day after our wedding.
Yeah.
And I didn't
know. Not that I was there because you didn't invite me, but it's fine.
Not that you were there because I didn't know you existed. And if I did, I was. I didn't know you.
I hadn't even moved to Scotland yet.
Oh, there you go. All right. Thanks, guilty McGuilty Pants. It was in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And yeah, we saw it, but I didn't, I was so wrapped up in this wedding world that I didn't even know like that this was, and I feel like this was a far bigger, like people made it a bigger deal.
People were more excited this year than I remember.
I don't remember. I feel like I would have clocked it despite my wedding psychosis.
You purchase my book and read it, you'll know why maybe I wasn't so much aware of what was going on. I just remember that they were like, oh, the eclipse is going on right now. And my boss handed me glasses and we all went outside and looked at it. And then I was like, okay, cool. And then I went back inside and continued working. But I was like not in a mental state to give a shit.
Yeah. I mean, I went to pick up my friend Rika and her partner at the time. Mm-hmm. And we were standing in the parking lot of this hotel and in Chattanooga, and this, like, it was sort of like what you were talking about. Like, everyone was just staring up at the sky. And I still had like pins in my hair from the night before. And I just was like,
you're like, here, everyone take some cake.
Yeah, I had my wedding cake because we were going on a road trip. And what they don't tell you is you have tons of cake left over.
You do.
Like, that cake is way too big.
Yeah.
So I told Rika, who I at the time didn't realize was actually an incredible drill sergeant. And I told Rika, I was like, you know, not even a drill sergeant, just very organized. And I was just like, if you can find someone to give this cake to you, it'd be great. And she found the manager of this hotel who had five sons, and she gave him this insanely expensive cake. It was the best day, but I was happy because I was just like, it'll
get rid of the cake. Yeah.
I mean, you care so much, and it's so funny because the day after you don't care at all.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a trauma as well. Yeah. I spent so much time picking out that cake, designing that cake, tasting the cake, and then the day after, the cake could have been on the side of the road.
Yeah,
for all I care, it was. Yeah. But yeah, so a guy gave me his. He had made glasses, which feels not healthy.
That feels not safe enough.
Right, and he said you should look at this. And I will say, because this was in August, so it was like It was like the height of summer. It went, I don't know how close we were to totality, but it went completely dark. And when it did, the birds stopped chirping and the crickets started.
Oh,
and that was kind of weird. Yeah. That's but it was weird. Real fast. Yeah. It was really fast. So, and then I was like, okay, cool. Thanks, guy. And off we went.
Yeah.
Well, but this time was different.
I know we weren't in totality in Colorado in 2017, but we were like closer. Cause I remember that we could have, I could have driven to Totality and it was only like a couple of hours. It wasn't like a big trip, you know?
Yeah.
But I was working at J. Crew. And yeah, they just were like, oh, everybody, like, we kind of went in shifts because obviously you can't just leave the store completely unmanned. But like, they were like, go here, take the glasses and go out in the back and look at the sun. And I just was so like, why are we doing, like, I just did not care about anything. So I was like, all right, whatever. And I like looked and then I was like, okay, bye. And I remember thinking like, doesn't this happen all the time? Why are we staring?
Well, people acted like it didn't. And then like, here we are, like, what is it?
7 years later.
7 years later. And it happened again.
I know.
And I was like, okay, well. You did make a comment though that I did want to say about your book. And we'll do more about that. But Chrissy's book is out.
It's out. You can buy it. I have it.
We'll link it up. We'll do all the shebangs.
It's linked in the Instagram. Oh.
I'm on top of things.
In our link tree, it has all of our stuff. So you can get my book. You can get Leah's book. You can look at the Hot Ones Challenge. You can email us. All of those links that exist in our Instagram and on our podcast pages. So if you're not on Instagram, you're just listening. This is also in our links on the podcast, like, bios. So all of those things are there. And yeah, several people have texted me today that their books have shipped, so they're gonna get there quickly. So yeah, it's exciting. It's weird.
I was gonna ask, how did you feel?
I felt,
this is your first book. How did you
it's feel? My first book. Yeah, it was honestly, also it was the day of the eclipse that it came, so it was kind of a
weird
combo of like, like there's the eclipse going on and also then my book arrived and I was just like sitting there like, this is a weird moment.
What if your book actually didn't arrive and we're all in the bad place?
We're all in the bad place.
But you think it did.
You think it did. No, it was, yeah, it was nice to get and to like hold it. It's, so this is kind of the funny part is that like you, when you did your PhD, you had to print your thesis off for everybody. So you've helped.
For like three times.
Yeah.
Thanks, Glasgow University.
You have held your thesis in your hand prior to it becoming a book. I had never done that because I submitted during COVID. And so it was just online. They didn't want any print copies of anything. So the only print version I have of my thesis is like the one I printed for myself to have during my Viva, so that I could like flip around in it, you know, and that's not the final version. Cause then I had to make a couple of edits and,
well, so the pages,
typos. And it's also like on
the form is not the same.
Yeah. It's like, you know, three ring binder bound or something like that. So it's just nothing about it feels official. And so, yeah, so this is the first time that it's ever been like, here it is. I can hold it and like flip through it. So that was, it was interesting. It was a weird kind of both the thesis and the book moment. And then I was like, okay, well, that's done now.
She put up a thing of like, what's next?
And I know. I
definitely had a longer rehab period from my first book. I was like, okay, it's going to be my first book. I think it was like 2013 maybe.
Yeah.
And then this one, it was 2023. So it was a decade later. Meanwhile, Chrissy's like, let me get it to the next.
I'm like, thing. 5 days later, I'm like, what else can I talk about? No, I mean, and in reality, it's, I think because it doesn't feel like I wrote it. Because I wrote it so long ago, you know, like.
Well, you've not written something from scratch.
Right.
Like, that was scratch, but it was.
It was scratch, but it was like multiple years and it was, you know, a PhD. So it's a whole different kind of experience. And so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just like everybody's like, you wrote a book. And I was like, yeah, 4 years ago.
Right. And now the fun begins.
Yeah.
All right, now you get to figure out what you want to write about next, and you can just do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I have ideas, but like, I also feel like, I don't know, it feels a little bit weird because everybody's like, thankfully, so excited for me. But I also just feel like this was a long time ago that this happened. It just got.
Well, yeah. Once you get your, how many times do you hear me reference? I can't even remember the title of my first book. There's a colon.
Exactly. Yeah.
Practical Theology. No, Theology of Reconciliation. Something. Embodied Peace Building, a Theology of Reconciliation.
There you go. Yeah.
There. So, but like, you once you, yeah. Yeah, the second one I just repeat most podcast days and days in general. Where yeah. I'm like, ooh, bad theology.
Bad theology. I know. It just, yeah. And like, not to say I'm not proud of it. I am. And
you should be. For sure.
It's very, the cover is really pretty. They did a good job with it. The endorsements are so sweet. It was really nice to read through those. I appreciated what they all had to say, and like all of that was very nice. And again, I'm so grateful for everybody buying it and like all the love that I've received from it. But like, yeah, it feels weirdly disconnected from today.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, now I feel like I have to do something else because I'm like, I don't know.
Like, well, luckily you do systematic, so everything is disconnected from today. So in 10 years time, we can still be disconnected.
We can talk about it forever, though. So it's a long lasting kind of theology.
Right. That has practical application in the real world.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, but long lasting practical application.
Mm-hmm. So no, we're really excited. That's super. I think it's the most thrilling thing. I sort of reveled in it for a while.
Yeah.
I was like,
perhaps I will also. Like, I think
You need a book launch. We talked about doing a book launch. I think you'll be more. Yeah.
Like some days I'm like really excited about it. And some days I'm just kind of like, it happened, but it's a real up and down kind of experience. But it is nice to hold it. It is.
Mm-hmm. Slow clap for Christy.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
It's a big deal in the world of academia because I think, especially if you teach where we teach now, it's like there isn't really the emphasis on research. So you don't really have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
My previous institutions, you had to do it, which I'm glad they instilled that in me because it means that like,
yeah,
and you just have that somehow in your brain.
No,
I had to be broken inside.
This is definitely coming from that same kind of mentality of my first institution, not the institution itself, but the men that I worked with were very like insistent on, you know, being involved in academia. And they were the ones who got me to start going to AAR and stuff. And they were also very like, they were really good mentors and very much encouraged me. And so they were like telling, you know, here are things you need to do and all of that. And so getting it out and having it published was always like the thing. I was like, as soon as I graduate, I need to start thinking about this because, you know, I need to do it as quickly as possible so that I can like start thinking about other things and whatnot. And two, it is a little bit that kind of feeling of you don't want to wait so long that it becomes irrelevant, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you want to do it when it's still a thing people are thinking of.
Yeah. And books are like my 10-year gap, but I was doing like stuff with the Scottish government and articles.
We're doing so much other stuff.
Well, and you maybe will too. I think it's just one of those things where it's like you kind of, it's hard to commit yourself to something that big again in the midst of life. Like, I think doing a book is a big achievement because like, it's easier. My point wasn't that, oh, I was like asleep for 10 years. It's like, it's more that the articles are easier those sort of things are easier to put out and to put forth and
whatever.
It's books are a big deal.
They are a big deal. Well, and too, you know, even as I've been thinking about the next one, I keep being overwhelmed because as much as it sounds like fun to do it by yourself, it's also kind of intimidating to not have somebody like helping you through the process.
That's why you got me, girl.
That's why I got you.
Yeah. Theological friends. It's true. Find your theology friends.
Yeah.
And they can read it and be like, this is bullshit.
Or like, that's not a good idea. Don't do that.
Don't do that. Like when I was like, I'm going to do a whole chapter in bad theology on Hitler. And you were like, that's a lot. That's
maybe a book.
Woo, glad I didn't do that.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. That's amazing there. Well done.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. It's nice. And it's, you know, it was exciting to put the link up too. I was like, here. It's here. You can go buy it. And like,
and it's going to be at AAR. Although I don't know anyone who got their paper accepted to AAR this year.
Bryant did.
Did you? Go Bryant. Excellent.
Getting accepted to AAR because he is the only one.
Yeah. Because like Myron texted me and was like, nope, I didn't even submit anything. And then you.
I did not get it. Nope. Which is
okay. I hadn't heard, I don't think, or maybe you told me, and it was before I went to Arkansas.
It was before, which is yeah.
Dead,
no, I did.
The dead, that's the dead time.
Yeah. No, which I'm honestly kind of grateful because I submitted the proposal and I instantly regretted it because I was like, I don't have time for this right now.
Right. I know.
But
I know.
Yeah. So yeah, it was nice to put the link up to be like, here it is. Go do things. Go buy it. Sometimes I go to Whip and Socks homepage and I can just like see it on there. And that's kind of weird. You're like, that's my book on the homepage of a website.
Did you go Christine or Christy?
I went Christine. Primarily. If you know me, you know, I hate my name. But like Christy does not sound like an academic name to me. I don't know why. It just, it's too rhymey.
Christy Whaley.
Like I just.
Especially if you do it in a Southern accent.
I know. Like,
Christy Whaley.
So yeah, I decided a long time ago, but it's Christine M. Whaley to like soften the horror of Christine.
Soften the horror. Sorry, Kathy. You made a mistake.
No, she knows. She knows.
Lordy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to do Leah E. Robinson. Most of my publications are under that because there were multiple Leah Robinsons that were like academics, and Elizabeth was my grandmother's middle name.
Yeah.
And so I was happy with that. And also every person's middle name in the name was born in the 80s.
Elizabeth or Marie.
Right.
Not mine.
But now there is a woman who does kinesiology that is Leah E. Robinson as well. She's an African American woman, and so we constantly cross paths
because
I got like Leah E. Robinson Twitter or something. She was like foiled again.
That's right. There was a decent period of time where I was pretty sure I was gonna go by KM Whaley, like
just
make it real British,
just NT, write it
and just use my initials, you know. But I didn't. I was like, all right,
okay, well,
use it.
You can.
So
I just, with bad theology, I reverted to Leah Robinson because I like
it. Makes sense. Yeah,
on the cover.
Yeah, I like it. Just, it's good. It's a good cover.
Yeah. So anyway, well, guys, go get Christine's book off of the link. I have read it. It is very exciting, especially if you are into systematic theology, talk about trauma, and every book that's ever been written.
Every book.
Just
every book.
But specifically Jean Rhys. And but poor Christy did read maybe every book that's been written.
Yeah, no, I read a lot. It was a lot.
So,
the next book is going to have a much shorter bibliography.
Oh my gosh. I used one book for like an entire chapter of the book I'm reading now, and I just was like, I don't care. It says what I need it to say.
It's doing what I need. Yeah.
Yeah.
I look
for it. I'm reading that. Yeah, it's that Jesus and John Wayne book, and I'm like, she's saying it all.
Oh yeah,
like, I don't really need anybody else's opinion right now. Because you're taught in grad school to, like, you know, diversify your voices whenever you're like, and have different conversation partners.
Mm-hmm.
And now on this one, I'm just like, eh, that's fine.
Yeah,
she's saying what I think. So,
and it was one of those things where it's like, you have to prove your point so well that they can't be like, why didn't you use so-and-so? So I just used everyone.
Yep.
And still during my viva, one of my examiners said, why didn't you use so-and-so? And I was like, are you kidding me?
You just fell on the floor and started rocking.
I said, I very much did not have time. And they said, no, you're right. You didn't.
Right. I always taught my students, say, I didn't think of that. I'll take it into consideration or something. Yeah. I had some like line prepared.
Oh, yeah.
An examiner said that because they say it all the time.
They say it all the time. And yeah, no, most of the time you should say something like that. Like, oh, that's a really good suggestion. I'll look into it.
Yeah, there you go. It was something like
something like that. But no, I literally just said point blank, I did not have time.
Yeah. Did you see my bibliography? Chrissy's bibliography was almost as long as her dissertation.
Did you see everything in here? I can't include anymore. There is no room. And no, she did. She goes, yeah, you're correct.
Right. Your point. I mean, I don't think anyone would read your dissertation and be like, she needs to read more.
She did not include.
Right. Why didn't you include me in your bibliography, Chrissy? Jeez. JK, that's crazy. Yeah. Well, good job. Well done.
Thanks. Okay, so tell us what it was like in
to see
going to
the eclipse. So I went to MENA, MENA, Arkansas, and it was my friend Sharon's birthday, and she rented a cabin in the woods. And we
the setting for every murder movie ever.
It would have worked out very well if that had happened. I'm glad it didn't, or did it again? Who knows?
Who knows?
Where are we? Anyway, so we spent like 3 days there, and Saturday, Sunday, Monday. That's right. And Monday was the eclipse. And so it was her birthday. It was my friend Sean's birthday. And so we just kind of had a double up. MENA, Arkansas is in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of a geographical oddity where like there's all these airports that are like exactly 3 hours away. So you can kind of pick what sort of podunk airport you want to go to.
Yeah.
So I picked Shreveport, Louisiana, which will prove to be a terrible choice. It is a tiny airport in Louisiana. And then we drove 3 hours to this place to watch the eclipse. Had a great time while we were there, and then watched the eclipse. And I will say, it was sort of a weird, you know, I don't talk about spiritual stuff much, but it was funny because there was a group of 13 of us, and we went out and we had drinks, and like there was meat. We had a playlist, a whole eclipse playlist.
Nice.
Like everyone was laughing, and it's weird because and it was creeping, and we could see it. And then when it went, it went dark, like midnight dark.
Yeah.
Everybody just got really quiet. Wow. It was weird.
That is, yeah.
And the we turned the music off, and it was just like this weird, and it lasted way longer than the other one. And so it was like 3 minutes or so.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, and we just sort of stared at it, and like no one talked. And then it went. And everyone was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I think I sent you a video of like us afterwards. Yeah. We were like, whoa.
Yeah.
Just happened. And it felt, and I don't know what it was, because I'm like you. I've never been like, Stuart's far more of like a planet sort of star person. And
right.
It's never been really my jam, but like there was something kind of, you felt really small, I think, for a minute.
I saw somebody put on some social media platform that she was like, if I had even 20% less information about the solar eclipse, I completely understand why people thought the world was ending. Like,
yeah, I mean, it went dark.
Yeah,
completely dark. And I was in central time. So it was 2:00
yeah.
PM, and the whole thing went dark. We were like, Yeah.
Like I can totally understand, like, in ancient times, if you aren't aware
right
of the solar eclipse, just being like, this is the end. This is definitely the end.
Right. Right. It is. Yeah, totally. And I mean, I am aware of science in that realm, and I also,
and it was still
felt like, well, and it, you know what it did, I think, and I'm not speaking for everyone, but for me, it made me feel like I had no, like, the things we think we are so in control of, mm-hmm. things, like, yeah. as humans, and when stuff like that happens, you realize, like, I could no more influence that happening than anything, yeah. you know, like, and none of us on Earth could.
Yeah.
And so it just made you realize that we are just hanging in space.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
we are very much a, you know, subject to anything that might come along. Whether you believe in God or not, we are still just here. And so I think it was sort of a realization of like, wow, we are not at all in control,
yeah.
of that. And, you know, drinking seltzers also maybe affected that. feeling as well. And
that's fair. Yeah
and then it was over, and it was so interesting because we had spent like so much time, energy, and money to go out to this area of, and I should say that this was in the path of totality,
mm-hmm.
and in 3 minutes it was over.
I know. Yeah, and that's the other thing that like kind of blew me away. And again, maybe my should we call it like pessimism from 2017 made me just, mm-hmm. still kind of like, why is everyone, I did feel like a lot of people were more into it this year than they were, but again, maybe they were last time and I just didn't notice. But I remember thinking like, why would you go somewhere for 3 minutes? But everything I've heard from people who were in totality is that it was worth it. Like,
I would say it was, yeah. Like, it was an experience. Yeah. I mean, I would have said it at the time. Now, fast forward to me now, I might have other thoughts about it. But the event itself.
Maybe Leah, the problem isn't so much of doing it as that you guys went to Arkansas.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, if you'd gone to a different part of the path of totality.
Yeah. Well, I didn't pick that.
I mean, so. Fair.
And, you know, like I said, I'm not the planner in the group. Everyone has their role. I'm the sort of comic relief. I'm not the planner. But yeah, so it was definitely like an event. And then afterwards, I remember us all just standing there being like, okay, what do we do now?
Yeah.
Like, it was sort of like, and it wasn't like we were bored. It just was like, it felt like such a, like a big event.
Yeah.
That it was kind of a letdown after. Almost,
yeah. I mean,
yeah.
This is, it's like, not unlike getting my book and then just sitting there and being like, well, that's over.
Yeah. Right. It's like the anticipation, is part of it.
Is almost bigger than the actual event itself. But
yeah, because we were there for 2 days anticipating. We had a eclipse birthday cake. We had eclipse pinatas.
Yeah.
Like, I will say the town, bless them, because it was a tiny, tiny, like, one horse town, it was like Area 51, I can imagine, where it was just like completely eclipsed out with like t-shirts and like, yeah. I survived the eclipse, blah blah blah. And so like, I think it was because it was a big event for that town, because it, in fairness, I think it was one of, you know, a string of probably like 10 or 15 towns across there that was like directly in yeah. the thing. And like the town was full of people. Yeah. Like, was probably, the most time.
Like tourism they've ever gotten at once, you know?
Yeah. And it was a dry county.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Which also, I think it's so fascinating. Like the way that people got excited about it this time just seemed so much more hyped. And it makes me wonder what that is demonstrating.
What that says about humanity.
Yeah, like what is it saying about where we are as humanity? That so many people were both excited about it, and that there were so many theories that this was the end of the world.
I don't know, but I think this could be a I think we needed it. And I don't know if that makes sense, but like, I think there's been a series of rough times. And like, we always go back to COVID, but like, I think on it, you talk about like trauma and stuff in your book. I don't think as a collective humanity, and I say this, there's not a lot of trauma that's like so collective across the globe.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that we know how traumatized we are from that time.
I don't think we know how traumatized we are. And I also don't think that we've properly decided to deal with it. And I think that's for probably a multitude of reasons. One being that, like, how do you collectively deal with trauma? Because you can't just shut down society necessarily, you know, and be like, let's all take a month off and process COVID.
Right.
But at the same time, we desperately need the ability to take time off. And I think you're right. Like, everybody getting excited about this eclipse and people traveling and having it being a collective kind of experience for people, like, no matter what your reasoning behind it was, everybody was talking about it. And it was a final kind of break from the stress and the
monotony
and the, like, just general kind of, like, and this is my theory about why so many people thought it was bringing about the end of the world, is that people are actually waiting for the end of the world anyway, like, because we're all so traumatized and because everything has been so bad and we have just, like, thing after thing after thing after thing happen that's so bad that people are like all of this must be leading up to some kind of collapse.
Yeah.
So
well, it lends itself to like the millennialism stuff that like,
yeah, the Y2K stuff. It felt the same.
Mm-hmm.
Like everyone's just kind of like, all right, this hat, like, and maybe it's because we just needed to like mark a thing and say like, this is it. This is when the thing is happening. This is the big end of the world because we can't keep going anymore.
Yeah. I agree. I think, you know, in the t-shirts that said, I survived the solar eclipse, like, what? And I know it's being funny, but yeah, like, what does that mean? You know, like, I think, you know, and I think with a lot of sort of these events, I mean, there are reasons why, like, the Mayans did the calendar and you have Stonehenge and, like, you have, you know, even if you want to go contemporary, like Heaven's Gate, the cult, you know, thought there was, because this comet was coming, they were convinced that the world was ending and, well, that they needed to get on the spaceship that was behind the comet, you know, as you do. Right. And I think there is a desire inherent in humans to escape the world. It's weird because we talked about our survival instincts earlier, and it's like we have this strong daily thing of keeping ourselves alive.
Yeah.
But then I do think there is something within us that wants to get out.
Yeah, I do.
And maybe not die, because dying is scary and it's unknown, but to get outside of ourselves in a way. And in that sense, apocalyptic visions and this kind of promise of something better is in many ways sort of a sad reality for us that we desire it so much, you know?
Absolutely. So when I was, and this was so long ago, I was doing my master's in literature, and I was in this contemporary lit class. It was contemporary American lit. And we were having this conversation about how so much of literature that's been coming out in the past, like, so this would have been like 2013, I think, is when I was in this class, maybe 2014. And it was like so much literature in the past decade had been apocalyptic. And you think about, like, you know, the Hunger Games were really big at this point, and other kinds of, there was just a lot of those series like Maze Runner and,
like, oh yeah,
you know, Divergent and all that. Like, all of these series were coming out and they were all about, like, so the world is going to fall apart and go into this dystopian society. And then, you know, a hero comes along and,
And then a hero comes along.
This is
we just aged ourselves.
I know. Also, as soon as I started saying it, I was like, and now I have to sing the song.
I was with.
I'm glad. I'm so glad. But it was talking about how what we talked about in my class was how, because so many things, and this was, again, this was 10 years ago. So just like think how much worse we are now. So many things had happened to our generation that we just assume that this is the end. This is, we're all watching the fall of Rome and we're just waiting for Nero to burn it down, you know?
Right.
And because we know that's what's coming. We are well enough educated in history to know that's what's coming. And so when something comes that can be kind of marked as a thing, we're like, all right, we're ready. Let's do it. Because
that's the
constant, oh God, it's another thing and another thing, mm-hmm. is almost worse than it just being the thing, you know?
Right. Well, yeah, and you know, that's like kind of the opposite of the eclipse, is the anticipation of the thing is kind of bad, you know, like it's just living your life. And I would say too, I think there's a reason why all these cults pop up throughout history, is like, I do think there are grievances that most generations have.
Because
I talked to my parents and they were like, oh, are you so sad about COVID? Because the Vietnam War sucked too.
Yes.
And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
They didn't say that specifically, but like they have, we brought up generational differences, and they did talk about the Vietnam War being really, you know, it was most young people were going, and it's like, that was your friends and some of your family, and you know, it's et cetera, I should say. And then a loss of faith in, you know, like Nixon and all whatever,
right?
And leadership and blah, blah, blah. So like we talk about, like, I will say COVID, we may have etched them out with COVID.
Plus I feel like COVID really hit everyone, you know, where like the Vietnam. So in like full disclosure, I am going to be upfront and say that I have never really studied the Vietnam War in any meaningful way. Like, I know it happened, obviously, but there's a level of depth that you study like World War II in your various history classes that did not happen with the Vietnam War. I know very little about. It lasted a really long time. So, and this is only kind of embarrassing, but I just read a Kristen Hanna book. I don't know if you know about Kristen Hanna. I called her, she writes like historical romances.
Oh.
I said she's like the Nicholas Sparks of historical female romances, because like they're all very like women forward, you know. And they're historical, but they're still like somebody's gonna die and something is really sad, and then you kind of know how it's gonna end always.
It sounds kind of terrible, but go ahead.
I don't want to like make it sound like she's a bad writer or anything like that.
No,
she does.
The content just sounds sad.
No, it's very sad. I mean, the book. So she wrote, her newest book is called The Women, and it's about the women who fought in the Vietnam War. And I learned so much more than I have ever known about the Vietnam War reading this book. And because I am who I am, I then had to go and do a bunch of research to find out more things. So
yeah,
it was bad. It lasted a really long time and really horrible things happened.
Yeah, and a lot of people died. I mean, I think too, it was a war that
it shouldn't have happened.
Would have argued shouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
And also the leadership divided the country into like
everything was bad.
The quote hippies or the draft dodgers, and then like the real Americans. It was a lot of stuff we're dealing with now. Like,
yeah,
are you a patriot or are you?
Yes. Very similar vibes to current political discourse. Yeah. But a lot more, I don't know, like obviously there's a lot less like openness about needing therapy and stuff.
Yep.
So
yeah, when they came back,
because they're all so traumatized by this horrible, horrible experience.
Some people would call them like baby killers.
And then, yeah, she talks about like the woman, the main character, she's a nurse, comes back and people were spitting on her and calling her a baby killer and all this. And I was just like, oh my God, like you can be against the war, but you don't need to spit on this.
Well, and they got drafted and you have people fighting World War II that are considered, quote, the greatest generation. And then the next generation you have going to a war that they didn't choose to go to.
Right.
And then they come back and they get abused. Yeah.
Yeah. Bullshit. I mean, the whole thing. And then too, because I just was finishing up Judaism in class. So I've also been talking a lot about World War II. So I do feel like what you're saying, I'm like, yes, all of this makes sense, is that there's really horrible things that happen in each generation, but COVID hit all of us.
It did.
Like it wasn't just, you know,
it was a global
thing, and it was everybody, no matter how old you are. And it like isolated a lot of people in a different kind of way. So yeah, I do think COVID has like a specific kind of trauma that the others don't, but all that. But
yeah. I mean, I think it's escapism, I think, yeah, in some ways is like, and not just escapism in like us consuming things like TV shows or whatever, but it's escapism and something that's outside of ourselves,
mm-hmm,
the eclipse.
Yeah.
And so I think there was something like exciting about that, because it was like, we had no control,
yeah,
over it.
Yeah. Like you get to have no control. It also can't be a thing that you can like, I don't know, be like, this shouldn't happen. It's just a thing that's happening, you know?
Right.
So, and yeah, I think that as a kind of overall sense, especially for people in our generation and younger, there's this kind of almost desire for it to just be over, not in a death way, but like,
right, in an apocalyptic
way. Like we're all, I think, prepared. And also we've been living off of dystopian stuff for so long that we're just like, I mean, how many times like have you talked about in a zombie apocalypse, what is your game plan? You know, who's on your team? All that kind of like,
I mean, you've already agreed I can push you down as a distraction.
You absolutely can. I don't want to live through it.
But then you become a zombie. Are you into that?
No, you have to kill me like,
oh, kill you first.
Kill me first. Let me just be dead.
But I think you come back, depending on the genre.
This is true. I mean,
sorry, Chris.
Look, I'm going to be honest. If
I can put you in a freezer.
If I come back as a zombie, I don't really know about it.
Well, it depends on which zombie genre you're in, because some of them have a slight awareness.
This is, yeah, well, okay. So, you know what?
I'll put you in your
discretion. Deal with me to your discretion is what I'll
say. I love this like giving up on it.
I have no desire.
So when the eclipse was over,
yeah,
we thought, ooh, this is great. So Tuesday we wake up very early to continue the story. Speaking
please,
of the end of the
please, world. Please, this is the part I've been waiting for.
Yes. So then we go. Now, full disclosure, well, you guys know this. We hate flying. As we were driving, the day of the eclipse was perfect. Not a cloud in the sky. We had perfect vision. The next day, hell broke loose in the sky. Like, there was a storm across the whole of the southeast.
Yeah.
I'll put a picture up. It looked awful.
It did look awful.
We were driving, and I was in the car with three of my friends, who are all very kind people and know that I hate flying, and kept trying to tell me different things like to pep me up, but I mean, it was lightning. It was like,
yeah,
it would be like if your fears were personified.
If I was you, I would have been straight up like, I'm not getting on that plane, just FYI to everyone. So
it was windy, you could hear it on the windshields, yeah, like, yeah, it was raining like it had never rained before,
yeah,
it was awful.
My students would have been like, we're not having class, right? And I would have been like, you're correct this time.
Right.
<Yeah.
laughs> we got out and my friend took back the rental car and we got out of this airport, and I swear the airport, it was like the eclipse. This was at 10 a.m. It looked like the eclipse had happened again. That's how dark was. So we walk into this tiny ass airport And we look up and the board is just red.
Oh, yeah.
And yellow.
Yeah.
And so we go in, we check in. Ours is delayed, but it's still going. And then we are going through security, and it's, and you can hear the broop, 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 broop of people's phones. And they're all looking at their phones in line in security. And at this point, I'm picking up my bags off the thing. And I looked to my two friends who had gone before me, and they were like, it's canceled.
Yeah.
The flight's canceled. The next available flight, because all those little people were booking flights, was Friday.
This was Tuesday.
Yep.
And you don't want to spend that much time in Shreveport, Louisiana.
No. I love Louisiana for people who it's my favorite cities, New Orleans in the world, but Shreveport is not. So just, and you know this and I know this. And so we were there, and then so I had to go back out, get my bag that I had checked off because there's no plane.
Yeah.
And the plane that was supposed to pick us up hadn't even taken off from Charlotte. That's how bad it was.
Yeah.
Like so it was just bad. So all of my 13 friends, so we have some friends going to Portland, some friends going to New York City, and some friends going to Charlotte. There was 7 of us going to Charlotte.
Yeah.
And we all just get on our phones and start like desperation station. Yeah. Like everyone's just like doing their own thing.
Yeah.
People from New York are crying because they're like, we may never get back. And
sorry, I just spit my drink into the glass.
Well, because New York is so far.
But imagining the New Yorkers like, we're stuck in the South.
Right, exactly. We're stuck in this shell forever. I gotta get back to the city. So we were less scared because while it is insane, we thought we could drive. So then we started looking at rental cars.
Yeah.
Well, some of us were looking at rental cars. We were not a united team. The Charlotte folks. We all just started going into panic mode.
Yeah.
So I start looking at flights. I start looking at all of this stuff. I'm like, if I can get to Atlanta, I'll be fine. Like, and Atlanta was like my safe place. So I was like, if I could just get to Atlanta, I will be fine. And then I looked at the flight, and there was a flight going out later from Atlanta, and it was like $800 or $900. And I was like, I know, and I can't because they won't pay you back for that because it was with Delta.
No, yeah.
And I was flying with American, and so it was just this whole thing. So then finally we were like, okay, we'll rent a car. We'll just rent a big ass car and we'll drive. No cars. We went to every single car place in that tiny ass airport. All the cars were gone. So there were no flights till Friday. All the cars were gone. And so we just sat there. The New Yorkers are like breaking down. The Portland people have found some solution. They're gone. And like all of us are just sitting there like, what do we do?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what to do. And like people have jobs.
Yeah.
Like so we just sat there, and then all of a sudden my friend Sean was like, we can take Greyhound. And I was like, the bus to Charlotte, North Carolina. We're in Northern Louisiana. And I was like, okay. And then she gets on. There are 7 tickets left for this Greyhound.
Yeah.
But there's a timer on it. And we can see everyone in this airport's on their phones.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta get it.
Because, and then my other friend's on the phone with American. He's like, she may be able to fit us on some other flight. And it was all just like chaos. And everyone was working against you.
Yeah.
It was like being on The Apprentice, but like every single person in the airport on their phone was the enemy. And we 7 were the only ones that mattered. So like, anyway, so my friend Sean got these tickets up, and they're up. There's a countdown on it It keeps rejecting everyone's cards.
No.
Because she's trying to buy 7 tickets and it's like $2,000.
Right. Because your credit card is like, this is surely this is a scam.
It's a gray, it's Greyhound.
Surely this is not a real thing that's happening. Yeah. No.
So we keep cycling through credit cards. Everyone's like, put it on mine. Put it on mine. I mean, it was pure ass chaos.
Oh my God.
And like, she gets down to 30 seconds.
Oh my God.
And my friend John, the credit card went through, but they wanted a code.
I'm like nervous and I know what happens.
My hands were shaking. Like, I was like, oh God. And so we get the code down to 15 seconds. And we know, looking at everybody else, that eventually everybody else is going to come to the Greyhound conclusion.
Uh-huh.
And we were like, oh God, oh God, oh God, 15 seconds. And we were like, John, get your phone. And like, he gets the code. Down goes the meter, down goes the meter. She puts the code in, her hands are shaking. 5 seconds left on the timer. She presses submit. And it says, and we just sit there, 7 of us,
yeah,
staring at this phone.
Yeah.
Now, I am the only reverend in the group, but I swear everyone was a reverend that day as we stared at that screen doing the little do, 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 do. And then it said, congratulations. And we all went, ah! There has never been so much excitement over a Greyhound bus ticket.
Never, never.
In the history of humanity. So we got those tickets.
I'm so glad.
And that is the beginning of the journey. 22 hours.
22 hours on a Greyhound.
On a Greyhound going through the deep south.
I can only imagine.
We went through like southern Louisiana, southern Mississippi, southern Alabama to Atlanta and then up to Charlotte. And I'm telling you, it was.
You were texting, but not consistently during this. And so there were like lulls in between, which
things were happening.
I understand why, but as an outsider,
it looked like I was dead.
Who is, you know, concerned about you as a pure like friend.
I appreciate your concern. You had every right
to there were a few times that night that I was just like, why isn't she answering?
I don't know.
Why isn't she texting something?
Probably because I was sitting next to one that was telling me about punching a fish. Then, I don't know.
There was a point in the middle of the night too when I woke up and I was just like, where's Leah?
Who knows? Who I couldn't have told you. We left that night, that day at 1 p.m. and we got to Charlotte. We had at 3 a.m. that night. We were in Atlanta.
Yeah.
For a layover at 3 a.m. And I love Atlanta. Atlanta's my heart and soul. But my God.
That's not where you want to be.
My God. The things I have
seen. Do you know, when you texted to say that you were in Charlotte, I was in a class. And it hadn't started yet. It was like right before my class was supposed to start. And I had a few students. And so I saw your text and I was like out loud. I was like, oh, good. My friend's back in Charlotte. And they were like, what is happening? And I told them very briefly that you had gone to see the eclipse and that you had gotten stranded because of the storms and had to take a Greyhound and that you had just said you got back home. And they all are very glad that you survived as well.
Yeah, we got back at like 1 p.m. the next day. Like it was, and then, so all of that. And at one stage, we were in Jackson, Mississippi, which is where my friend Susie and Jesse are from, my friends. And he said, you shouldn't go out in the town. This was at like 3 p.m. or something, 4 p.m. He was like, you shouldn't go out in the town. And he goes, I'm not kidding. People don't come back. We go to this bus station. It's completely abandoned. Like it looks like a zombie apocalypse. Like everything's shuttered. Like it's all just empty. There's restaurants, but nothing's open. It's 4 p.m. on a Tuesday. Like we were like, where are we? So anyway, point being is it was a crazy have drinks with me. I will tell you all the stories of everyone that I met. I met some incredibly terrifying people. I met some incredibly wonderful humans, and it is just a huge story. I became my, we call ourselves the Shreveport Seven now.
Shreveport Seven.
And I think that we may be bonded for life.
I was going to say that I think the most important part of this story is that you all made it out still friends. Like,
we didn't even fight with each other. It was weird because I think so much stuff was happening around us.
You didn't have energy to fight with each other. You were just like, we have to focus on survival.
But also it was just like so much chaos at every turn.
Yeah.
So like you stop so much on these journeys. And at one stage we were in Birmingham, Alabama, you know, all these luxurious stops. Uh-huh. And they make us get out of the bus so they can fuel the bus.
Yeah.
And the woman is literally like scared straight. Like the bus drivers are no joke. And like to varying degrees. But like this woman was like, y'all get off, take your trash with you. And then we got off and like we got into Birmingham and she was like, everybody get in a line. And it was like we were in prison. I was like, I paid $200 and something to be on this. And she's like, maybe y'all didn't hear me really well when I was on the bus, but I said for you to get your trash and take it with you. And I was like,
fantastic. Oh my I need gosh. To adopt this more for my classes and just like really be like, you are in line. We are not friends.
She made us get in the line and I swear she walked down the line and I was laughing because I couldn't help it. Like, I wasn't in jail. I'm not.
You're not.
In
prison. No.
And she just looked at me like death.
Yeah.
Because I was laughing and I was like, I'm allowed to laugh. Like, what
no.
do you.
No, you're is, not.
And at this stage, I swear, my group, we were just descending into madness because we hadn't slept.
Yeah.
Like, we hadn't slept at all for like multiple days. Yeah. And it was just like, I couldn't stop laughing at the absurdity. I wasn't laughing at her specifically, although she was a part of it.
You're just like delirious at that point.
And that's when we were getting on the bus that my friend Ron was like, maybe we died in the plane crash. And that this is what we do, is we just get on and off buses for the rest in the deep south for the rest of our lives. And I was just like, oh no, we're in the bad place. Oh god. And things kept happening that meant that like it just was a series of unfortunate events that kept happening. Yeah. And then like finally when we got into North Carolina, they stopped several times for like unfortunate events. And my friend John looked at me and was like, we can get an Uber from here. I know we can. Like, we were just holding on to hope. Like, we can do this. We can do this. So anyway, that was, but there's a lot that happened in between. And come meet me at AR or whatever and we'll chat.
Yeah, Theology Beer Camp. Theology Beer Camp. Come to Theology Beer Camp. Use our code.
It's on our Which Instagram. Is what?
It's a, that's a good question. Hold on. It has Aragorn in it. It's on our thingy. Hold on. Up rocks Aragorn, like Aragorn from the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
ROCKSARAGORN. You get money.
Yes,
out.
Help us.
Come to Theology Beer Camp.
To be better.
We will have Leah tell the grand other stories and.
I've seen things I can't. I'm so happy. I've eaten things I can't
eat. I'm so happy you're alive and that you experienced this. And, you know, it's one of those things, you and I are like this. We really like the story. And so
if you're going to punch a fish, though.
I think you're almost there already, but where you're like, it was completely worth it because now I have this incredible experience and a phenomenal story that you get to tell for the rest of your life.
Yeah, my friend Sharon said there's like type 1, type 2, and type 3 fun.
Yeah.
Like type 1 is just
like fun.
Yeah, fun. Type 2 is, it was really bad at the time, like terrible, but afterwards you can laugh about it.
Yeah.
And there's type 3 that just wasn't fun.
Yeah.
You thought it was going to be fun.
You thought it was going to be fun. Or like it's a kind of like the PhD, like you're like, this was a monumental thing that I did, but it was a terrible experience.
Right, exactly. So this was type 2, type 2 fun. I can say, if you're going to punch a fish, you should probably put it on land first, according to...
Okay. Because you're fish really... in water is much more difficult. I can...
A lot This is why I wasn't texting you.
Oh my god. Also, let us know what kind of fish you want to punch.
So that you can show it who's boss.
You can show it who's boss.
As opposed to...
That's amazing. No part of me has ever thought I need to punch a fish.
Nope. Me neither. Welcome to Greyhounds. Hashtag Greyhounds.
Hashtag Greyhounds. Oh my god. I love it.
So next time a fish pisses you off, just remember.
You can punch it.
But make sure it's on land.
On land. I mean, I think that's what I've heard you're supposed to do to sharks, is to punch them in the nose.
Yeah.
Which is never the thing I'm going to do if I encounter a shark, just FYI. Because again.
Strangely, shark didn't make it onto this man's list. It was like trout. He said,
why would you punch a trout? That fish already knows it's not the top of the food chain.
The koi fish. Koi fish got to the fish.
Oh my god, I have a koi fish pond in my backyard. We can come punch it.
I just don't really want to.
I don't. And I don't see the point. It's just
amazing. I think that's gonna mess up with your vegetarianism.
Do I get to be a vegetarian if I punch the fish?
Oh, that was one of many. One of
so fantastic. Anyway, I love it so much. Well,
I think we've reached the end of our time. Thank you guys for talking to us about Greyhound and the apocalypse of the eclipse that didn't happen, or did it?
Or did it? You know what? I also just realized this just pops in my head, is the Theology Beer Camp link is also in our link tree. All of the links you could possibly want. Every link in the world.
Every link that makes us happy.
Click on
check out my pics from before and after.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And then come join us as we have raucous times listening to these stories. I'm so excited about it.
Me too. And do this drink because
I'm gonna have another one, not tonight, but because that was
I might have another one
tonight. But I was like, you know what's gonna be exciting tomorrow when I'm having my like rest day off? Is to have a mimosa popsicle experience in the morning, because that's a morning drink.
It just made me giggle a lot, and I think that's right.
It's the right thing. Do try this. Just throw a popsicle into your Prosecco. It's easy and it's great.
All right, guys.
All right.
Stay safe out there.
Bye.
Bye.